Hey, it's Ken Velasquez from the UFC.
Stan the Outlaw Hardy.
Hey, this is UFC President Dana White.
I'm Tito Ortiz, a high speech bad boy. You're listening to Mixed Martial Arts.
It's the show Columbus fight fans turn to. The latest news and info in the world of MMA. It's Mixed Martial Arts, sponsored by Bud Light. Here we go on Ohio's best rock, QFM 96. Here's your hosts, Arch Madness, Iron Mike Dorsey, and Doug St. Pierre.
Mixed Martial Arts, here we go. It is the show fight fans turn to. Arch Madness, DSP, Iron Mike Dorsey, and fellas, I think we've got a good one today. In fact, I know we got a good one today. We're going to have to talk about UFC 135. God, we're on 135 already. Rampage and John Jones, that's tonight. But on our show today, we've got Big John McCarthy. He's got a new book out, and the UVC's got a show coming up here in a week or so over at the Aladdin Shrine Temple, and we'll talk to Rick Piles. So, always a good guy.
Also, don't want to forget our boy Dan Spahn's fighting tonight, too.
Dan Spahn fights tonight on Bellator, and we wish him absolutely the best luck. Good friend of the show.
Check
it was your
out.
Corner man, Doug.
Right. No, and taped my hands up and everything. So, I mean, no, he's going to be on the prelims, right, Mike?
Yeah, he's going to be on the prelims, and I believe they're going to show all the Bellator prelims on Spike.com.
All right, remind us at the end of the show, too. Remind us at the end of the show to
we
do
We want
that.
To support this guy.
Absolutely.
Super cool.
So what else, guys? I mean, what? How you doing, Doug? Are you all right? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just checking. I mean, you know.
Getting back in the swing of things.
I didn't know if the Nevada Commission had
not on any suspensions or anything. Just taking a little bit of break, but I'm still getting back in the swing of things and doing good.
Right on, man. You seem a little more mobile, if we will.
That slip disc did bother me.
Dude, I mean, that's a slip disc.
The pain's gone, but I'm still, you know, I'm going to the chiropractor a little bit here and there. But
you're
you know,
our Tony Romo, dude.
Yeah.
There's no quit.
But, I'm getting back in the swing of things. We'll see what happens. Maybe I can get in there at Buckeye and roll around with David.
Right. That's McKinney. Right, McKinney. Yeah. McKinney's rolling at Buckeye now. Awesome. So we've got headlines coming up. Iron Mike, just what are we going to be talking about today? Throw some topics at us. And I know we have a very, very special guest. We'll introduce him actually when we get into headlines, but he'll be helping us. Somebody we haven't had on the show, but some real history with this guy and mixed martial arts for sure. But what kind of stuff are we going to be talking about today?
We'll start by recapping the fight night. And speaking of that fight night, did you guys see the interview that they did with John Jones and Rampage? The back and forth.
I was cracking up, but I couldn't. Rampage just kept on talking trash over Rogan at the end. There's like, thanks, guys, and it was
he's still
was
fired.
Crying. He's
the Kimmel.
I'm gonna knock you out.
The Kimmel stuff was awesome. That was funny the other night as well. I can't believe it. And it's cool how what other sport where guys who obviously do not like each other can sit on the same couch, bash each other, but they know, and that's the fighter's mentality.
They're holding it.
You know what? They're not doing it because they're not getting paid. They're not throwing a punch unless somebody's signing a check, and that's what I love about this sport.
I'm cracking up about the promo, too, for the 135 UFC. When he's like, I'm new school, you're old school. He's like, who are you calling old, boy?
You know, he's great, man.
He's fired up.
I think John Jones, I don't know if he really gets much out of this if he wins, you know what I mean, other than shutting Rampage
satisfaction.
Up. But, man, it is an absolute win-win for Rampage. It really, truly is. I hope he gets his mouth shut up. And I think if anybody can do it, it's going to be Bones Jones. And I really wouldn't rattle that cage too much, but it's too late for that, man. And they're going to go tonight. That's going to be a great, great fight, a great card. We'll do our predictions on that, Doug.
Back, too. I want to see how he looks, too.
And I'm kind of running that through my mind right now, and I'll bring it up during predictions. But I've brought this up before, and guys, and we saw it with Jake Shields, there's a GSP hangover, guys. You get so involved with trying to beat the machine, the robot, the absolute specimen that is GSP. And after that, it seems like these guys, they just drop off, man.
Right.
They absolutely they can't get it again.
Tiago, I mean,
the list goes absolutely.
You know, just everybody's
Finch
same
has
deal.
Been able to kind of stay steady and stay in the mix. But I mean, you look at Hardy. That's the prime example,
four
guys.
In a row, right?
And then what happened to Jake last week? So much to talk about. Don't
I will
go
say
anywhere.
Jake had a lot on his mind.
Yeah, that was a tough one, man. Big John McCarthy, Rick Piles on the show. Stick around. It's the show you, the fight fans, turn to. Mixed Martial Arts, QFM 96.
More rage in the radio cage when Mixed Martial Arts continues on Ohio's Best Rock, QFM 96. It's the show Columbus fight fans turn to. It's Mixed Martial Arts on QFM 96.
Mixed Martial Arts, it is the show fight fans turn to, and it is time for headlines. They're brought to you by Ultimate Wrestler. It starts here, it ends here. Ultimate Wrestler clothing. Visit theultimatewrestler.com. Like I said, we've got a special guest in here. Guys, let me just give you a little brief preview here, a little backstory with this cat. He actually co-hosted, and I think we might have done two live mixed martial arts shows when we first started this, but it's my co-host on Saturdays for out the VC. We've got Trapper Jim, Jimmy Bryson, in-house with us, and a guy who watches every single fight with us. What's up, Trap?
How you doing, man? Yeah, this is deja vu.
That's what I was telling the guys off the air. I said, this is like Metallica kind of hanging out with Dave Mustaine. You know what I mean?
Like that.
You drink as much as Mustaine. I'm not going to even say that.
Minus the hair.
Right on. So, Trap, you want to hang out with us here, man, and do some headlines with us? I know you're as big a fan as we are.
Without a doubt, this is a great card.
Iron Mike, what do you have us?
All right, guys, like we said before, we're going to start off with a recap of UFC Fight Night. We saw a great night of fights, but you know, unfortunately for me, being a Shields fan and having that connection
tough
with
to
Jack
watch,
Shields,
man.
It was tough to see.
I think he's missed an up right now.
I know. It was tough to see Jake go out like that. But then again, you know, I was talking to my wife about it when we're watching the fight. I'm like, you know what? I was like, it may have been easier for him to train and everything without his dad there. But when he's so used to having his dad in the back with him while he's getting ready to go out, walking out with him, being in his corner, that had to affect you mentally. I don't care what he says.
And I was watching Unleashed this week, and they had a couple of different Frank Mir fights on, and whether you like Frank Mir or not, and I'm kind of a Mir fan. He upsets me sometimes with the jawing. I think it's kind of over the top, but he's always got his dad there, and I always think that is the coolest thing. And if you remember, his dad's the one. It's kind of tough too. His dad's the one that was getting ready to throw the towel in when Brock was just beating the living hell out of him, and they were trying to get it stopped. That would be tough having your dad in with your corner in that sense. But I've always respected Frank Mir and Jake and just how they made their dads a part of it. I think that's super cool, man. How did your family react to all that going on, man? Your mom was doing great.
I think they were loaded. I don't know. I don't remember much of the. It was just, you know, it's kind of surreal. You're kind of just, your mind's in a different place right before you're about to fight. And
I just remember after you won, you go back into the locker room, and I just remember your mom. She was just telling everybody, I think your bro was there and everything, and she was just like, I'm so proud of him.
She kept on telling me that she was going up to people that were wearing one of my shirts and being like, you know that guy? That's my son.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, but I felt super bad for Jake, excuse me.
Well, I feel bad for Jack.
He's in a better place.
I remember watching that fight thinking, wow, you know, Jake Shields just does not look as strong as Ellenberger. Ellenberger just looked like a powerhouse. He came out just like,
and we've been hip to Ellenberger for a long time. Right. This show's been talking about Ellenberger.
We were talking about how it seemed like a step down for Shields to be fighting Ellenberger, but Ellenberger came out and just
proved us wrong.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's not the feel-good story we wanted with Jake Shields winning, but you got to give credit to Jake Ellenberger. I mean, he just came out there and put it to Jake.
And Trapper Jim, this is another one of those stories where you get a guy after he fights an elite fighter, and I'm not saying that Jake Shields isn't an elite fighter, but man, when you fight a GSP or if you fight an Anderson Silva, and a lot of times you're not the same anymore after that loss.
I think it can end a career slightly, because I think most fighters have that sense of invincibility. You feel like, I can beat anyone. You hear Rampage talking about Jones, and you would think he hasn't seen Jones fight. I think once you face a guy and you get dominated, right, how do you go back and train and prepare after that and feel like I can beat anyone? You've been destroyed.
Dismantled. I mean, and these are great fighters, but when you get and you go from being a top tier fighter
getting
dismantled like that, like from Silva or GSP or whatever, it's probably hard to come back from.
I think Silva and GSP even worse. I always tell Arch, when they fight, they're not necessarily just trying to win. They're working on things. It's almost like training for them. You see their corners. telling them not to do certain things where right. other corners would say, just win. I don't care how you do
don't
it.
Don't do takedowns
that,
this round.
That can
don't
be a little...
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
And those were against... I mean, that was like against guys like BJ Penn.
Right, you're right. fighting the best, and just you're like, working on things.
That's insane.
It's like a training, sparring
yeah.
practice.
It's insane
yeah.
to even think of it on that level. But, man, and here's hoping that Jake Shields rebounds from this. Ellenberger, man, he is right in the mix.
Wow,
I tell you, Ellenberger...
Really shot him up.
Ellenberger, and if in the winner of the Diaz and BJ Penn fight, those are three guys. And I know you're saying, I don't want to see BJ fight GSP again. Well, you know what? BJ deserves that. BJ deserves that shot. If he gets by Diaz and throw Ellenberger into the mix now, but I see those guys. Hey, and let's not count out Condit. I mean, hell, guys, we were.
You never know. I mean,
you never know. You never know. Iron Mike, what do you have for us?
All right, guys, coming up next, we got some info from Dana Henderson's camp. It is official. He is back in the UFC, and he will be taking on Mauricio Shogun Hua at UFC 139. What's your initial thoughts about this? One, having Dan Henderson back in the UFC, and two, this being his first opponent.
So, I mean, is that just Strikeforce is completely done?
That's what,
me and Doris
were trying to figure out earlier this week. And
so he vacates his title, obviously, moves over to the UFC. I think he's going to have his hands full with Shogun. I mean, Shogun coming off, just...
That's Shogun looked good in his last one.
It's gonna be a hard
Shogun
one.
Looked real good.
I mean, you never know with Henderson, though, man. He drops those bombs, you know, but you got to watch those leg kicks from Shogun. So.
A lot of people might be reading into this. Is this Dan getting back and getting closer to fighting Anderson? Because that's what he's been talking about.
He ain't getting any younger.
And he said that's the only fight he'll drop weight for. But he's got to get through Shogun first here at light heavy. Man, that's tough, man.
Yeah.
That's tough, and ain't nobody love Hendo more than I do. But that's asking a lot coming back. If anybody can handle it, Hendo, he's been in the spotlight how many times?
Yeah.
But that's a tough one, man. I'm glad to have him back in the UFC. He deserves that. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He's first year Hall of Famer. And
I'll be curious to see if he can handle Shogun's power.
Yeah, Shogun
is a strong guy.
He's got the hardest leg kicks.
Yeah, and he seems to with guys. If you go to where he's been in the light heavy, those type of guys he's had problems with. Rampage, he had problems with. Just think of other light heavies. But then again, when he dropped the weight and fought Jake. In Strikeforce, and it's like that one's always in the back of my head, guys. I'm sorry, and that one almost the way Forrest was kind of some of the sheen was rubbed off when he fought Anderson.
Yes.
The same thing for me with Hendo in the Shields fight. I cannot get that out of the back of my mind. Are you with me, Doris? I mean, that was remember how shocked we were?
Yeah, I mean, but I do look back at when we talked to Dan Henderson about that, and he was talking about feeling weak
at
that weight,
right on, man.
And all that. But like you said, I mean, if he's talking about dropping weight again and
Silva.
And that was the results, like you said, nothing against Jake Shields, but he's no Anderson Silva.
No.
And if Hendo's gonna drop weight again to fight Silva, I'm with you, man. That's in the back of my mind in that fight. And you know, obviously, Anderson Silva is on a whole other level than Jake Shields.
And just a quick point, nothing against the guys that fight in Strikeforce. UFC is a whole different bracket.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, look at Shields. He dismantled everybody in Strikeforce. Now he comes over here and...
I hear you, man.
He's not doing so great.
How we doing? Are we going to split them up here, boys? You want to hit into a break here?
Into
a break. Trapper Jim, can you hang for one more? Right on, man. Hey, we've got another set of headlines to take over, and we've also got our predictions coming up in this set of headlines. UFC 135 tonight. It's Rampage and Jon Jones. We'll discuss Mixed Martial Arts QFM 96.
More rage in the radio cage when Mixed Martial Arts continues on Ohio's Best Rock QFM 96. The biggest name in the sport enter the radio cage with Arch and DSP. It's Mixed Martial Arch on QFM 96.
Mixed Martial Arch, we are back in the middle of headlines. They're brought to you by Ultimate Wrestler. It starts here, it ends here. Ultimate Wrestler clothing. Visit theultimatewrestler.com. Iron Mike, what do you have for us?
Guys, we have some injury news. Vitor Belfort is out against Kung Lee, and Vanderlei Silva will be stepping in. So what do you think of the matchup of Vanderlei versus Kung Lee?
I think it's his last.
Yeah, I think so.
Unless he wins, but...
Kung's awesome. Kung Lee is so much fun to watch. Thing about Kung Lee is it's really interesting. And if you follow Strikeforce, he's a guy that does. He literally
are there people that
does,
follow Strikeforce?
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. It's like you, me, and Mike are about it, really. And but no, seriously, he's one of those guys that actually balances a movie career and the fighting. And it's and he hardly ever fights. He hardly ever fights. And you're like, I don't know if he's gonna have rust or something. And then you watch him, and he's doing like these flips and these backspins. It's an interesting fight with Vanderlei. Vanderlei is swinging for the fence as a guy that just lost to Chris Lieben pretty handedly. This is it for Vanderlei. And Dana said pretty much, this is it. He's got to win to keep going.
Well, I didn't say, I thought after his last fight, that was his last fight.
Right on, yeah. Doug. I think Kung Lee is just, I think Kung Lee's hungry to get in the mix with the best that the UFC has. And I think it's going to be a bad scene.
Kung Lee's tough to train for, like you said.
Yeah,
he's not your stand in front of you.
No.
You know.
Yeah, it's tough.
He's a little erratic.
He's like Jackie Chan.
Yeah, he is, man.
I don't know how you train for that.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you do? Do you watch the tuxedo? I don't know.
get his last
rumble in the Bronx.
I mean, seriously. Iron Mike, what do you have for us?
All right, guys. This week, we kicked off the first episode of the new season of The Ultimate Fighter, and we got the coaches, Michael Bisping versus Jason Mayhem Miller.
Right.
And, you know, I have to say, I enjoyed all the fights to get in the house. There were some great fights, some great
good
fighters.
Good looking dudes in there. That doesn't sound right. Yeah, I mean, good looking fighters.
Hey, no, they're.
Yeah.
No, some bad 2011, Douglas. It's all
bad
good.
Bad little dudes in there.
It's all good. Now, I'll be honest with you, and I won't let this happen again. I have DVR'd it. I have yet to watch it this week. I know. I'm kind of slay. Yeah, hey, dude, you got a MMA show? You want to watch that?
Yeah.
But I haven't. But you guys, there's some good fighters, some good talent, man.
I mean, some of the very first fights to get in the house were guys just coming in and that were pumped up. And the thing, like, Doug and I talked about this last year, and you can probably remember it, too, when we talked about the last season. Between Dos Santos and Brock, they didn't make the guys fight to get in the house.
I hated
that.
Yeah,
just let the guys
get in. That's upsetting a lot of people.
And man, you could just kind of tell, like, the attitudes of the people. Like, later on in the season when they were picking the wild card and Dana was bringing the guys in, and like, these guys just didn't even plead their case. They're like, yeah, you know, I want to fight. I want to be in the UFC. And these guys that were fighting to get in the house,
they're hungry.
These guys were coming in, knocking guys out in like 30 seconds, and man, they were doing backflips and screaming, dropping F-bombs, like, I'm in the house, you know, they're pumped.
You've got to tell us the story once again. What was the Mayhem Miller, the guy that does the, you know, you got to tell that story.
I can't exactly remember which fight it was, but in one of the fights to get in the house, after the guy knocks the dude out, he jumps and does a flying forearm to the other guy's face.
Very reminiscent of.
And Mayhem Miller, they put the camera on him. He's like, you know, I kind of remember this from somewhere before. And he's like, oh, yeah, the guy sitting to the left of me had that happen to him.
Referencing Hendo knocking Bisbing out back in,
UFC 100, man.
Yeah, one of the greatest cards ever.
Oh, God,
it's still one of my favorite knockouts,
me too.
Man.
I mean, I've never jumped up out of my seat for a fight like I have. I take that back. When Anderson Silva fed his foot to Vitor Belfort, that got everybody up. Hey, we got Trapper Jim, Jimmy Bryson, in with us. First off, you coming to Red Rock tonight to watch fights with us, Broham?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? That's the only place to watch it, as far as I know.
Okay, now
you can't pass up the natties.
Okay, the natties and the old styles and the
old, I don't know. When we go old style. I don't know what in the world that is.
Jump off a little bit.
When they bring that out there, I'm like, wait a minute.
All right, Iron Mike, throw the card at us. Let's do about three fights, and a Trap will let you lead off, and then Doug, and then me, and then we'll let Iron Mike, because Iron Mike really is the lead dog in all this. He usually picks them dead on. Doug, you were on a roll there for a while, but go ahead. Throw them to us, Iron Mike.
All right, guys, we got UFC 135 tonight. First fight we're going to look at is Nate Diaz versus Takanori Gomi.
Go ahead, Trap.
Yeah, I'm going to go Diaz on this one. I just think Diaz is the better fighter, and in this fight, I really don't see this as being that close. I think he might get him out of there fairly quickly.
Wow!
Yeah, I really do.
He's got a huge reach advantage, I will say, Diaz. I mean, I'm liking Diaz on this one as well, but I gotta say, Gomi's got a huge, record. Like, 32-7. That's a lot of experience, but I think Diaz brings it. You know, with that reach, he's gonna keep him away. You know, and he's going to pull it off.
Yeah, I think Gomi's hands are heavy, and you always have to be aware of that. And just like we talked to Clay Guida, he just talked about listening to those, like, sizzle past his ears as he was trying to duck under him. Nate really needs this bad. Nate needs a win bad, guys.
They need a win from that camp.
All right.
So maybe,
back off.
This Diaz, maybe show up for the fight.
Oh, you know what? I deserve it. I talk so much smack. I deserve that. But I like Nate in this one, man. Iron Mike, what do you think, bro?
I'm taking Gomi. And I'll tell you why. I'm taking Gomi because this isn't Nick Diaz we're talking about. It's Nate Diaz. And that's not to be disrespectful or anything, but I've been burnt by Nate Diaz a couple times here. You know, I've expected him to show up a lot more
in his fights,
the last few fights. I haven't been impressed with his performance.
Can we say that Nate Diaz is kind of the Miami Dolphins of MMA? You always think that the Dolphins are going to do something, and then they win a couple, and then they just, maybe we won't say that. Iron Mike, what's the next fight? We won't say that.
All right, guys, the next fight, we have Matt Hughes taking on Josh Koscheck, who was filling in for the original matchup of Hughes versus Sanchez. Who do you like?
Trap?
Yeah, I like Koscheck in this one only because I think he needs it more than Matt Hughes. If you're looking at it on paper, you know, Hughes, ton of fights. I think, you know, sometimes a little bit of the tread wears off the tire. I think Koscheck probably gets him. And again, he needs this so much more than Hughes needs it.
Yeah, I'm curious to see this fight. I'm going with Koscheck as well. I want to see how he performs after that. His orbital bone was smashed up so bad by GSP.
Dude.
But it's been a while since he fought. I mean, that was back in
December.
Well, December. Yeah. So it's been getting close to a year. So he needs a win bad. I mean, and I think he's going to pull it off.
What were we watching online? It was when they were in Australia, and that was months after the GSP fight. And remember, he said, and they were talking to him. He's like, "Yeah, I still haven't been able to
train
at all."
I'm curious to see how
the elliptical
is.
Because of his eye and stuff. I'm going to go ahead and take Josh too. Matt Hughes, this might be it for Matt. We'll see. His wife is kind of getting on him there.
He's had so many fights,
man. Yeah, and I just
over 50 pro fights. That's
insane. I think the wrestling balances out. I think I hate to sound like Rogan, but I think Koscheck's one of the best wrestlers in the game. And his hands are heavy right now. I like Koscheck in this. I think Matt's timing was exposed a little bit in the BJ Penn fight a while back, and I think he is susceptible to a big punch, and who can throw a bigger punch than Koscheck?
Guys, I want to disagree with you again. I'm taking Matt Hughes.
That's why he goes last,
I'm taking Matt Hughes.
That's why he goes last.
And I'll tell you why I'm taking Matt Hughes. I'm taking Matt Hughes because, like you said, he's coming to the end of his career. He knows he doesn't want to go out with
like
a
Lytle.
Loss.
You want him to
And I'm buying into your GSP hangover. I think Josh Koscheck is going to have that GSP hangover. He's been out for a long time. Like Doug said, it's been almost a year since he's even been in the cage.
I hear you, man. I hear you. And I even wrote it on my sheet here.
It's one of those hard ones to pick.
It is, man. It is. Well, let's see how hard this one is. The main event, Iron Mike, throw him at us.
All right, guys, we got John Bones Jones versus Rampage Jackson.
Unfortunately, I see this one like the A-Team movie. Rampage is not starring in this one. He's a co-star. I think John Jones, I mean, I expect this not only to be a good fight, I expect Jones to get him out there in a spectacular way. Like, a back fist. Some kind of crazy submission. I mean, Jones is so technical. He reminds me of Silva and GSP. He's going to be working on something. I'm sure he's already thinking about Rashad, maybe sending a message. This is how you're getting out of here, too.
Right. You know, I obviously like John Jones in this fight as well. I'm not a big Rampage fan. He's just such a trash talker. He does look really good, though. He's been training really, really hard. He's got that knockout power. So anything is possible, but how do you train for John Jones? I mean, he's so unpredictable. He makes moves up on the fly. You don't know what he's going to do, you know, with those spinning elbows, spinning back fists, whatever. You know, he's next thing you know, you're knocked out. So I think Jones is going to finish it, and hopefully in a very cool fashion, because there's been so much controversy with the spy in the camp and all that stuff, and Jackson's been talking so much trash. I'd like to see John Jones put his fist in his mouth. You know?
I think Rampage's boxing is still some of the best and MMA, just because of his aggressive nature and the way he pushes the fights, and it seems to work in his favor. I'm going to try and do it in my own analogy. I think this is like The Simpsons, and this is like from John Jones is like from about 95 to 96 when The Simpsons really took off. You know what I mean? They started using more Homer and a little less Lisa and Bart. You know what I mean? I think Rampage is more early Monty Burns kind of just not funny Simpsons. And does that help? Does that do anything for you guys? I agree with Jimmy. I think it's going to be in spectacular fashion. And Rampage, great boxer, aggressive style, not enough in this one. There's just too many weapons that John Jones has.
Now, guys, I'm going to make it unanimous because I agree with you. A lot of the people say,
sure?
Well, yeah, I do. A lot of the people do say that, you know, this is the biggest challenge and the biggest, you know, risk for John Jones. I mean, this is his biggest threat that he's had in a while. But I just think John Jones is way too much for Rampage. I think, like I've said before, Jim Casey for Fight Magazine said it best. I can't tell you how to beat John Jones until somebody beats John Jones.
Yeah.
And I'm never, ever going to pick against him until he loses.
Good stuff. Hey, Trapper Jim, thanks so much for stopping in, man. It's good having you in here. You should do that sometime.
Yeah, I might have to come back in here again. I mean, if I keep picking John Jones fights, I mean, I'm going to be undefeated.
It does make you smart when you're picking John Jones fights. Hey, stick around, guys. We've got the legendary referee himself, Big John McCarthy, coming up. It's Mixed Martial Arts, QFM 96.
More rage in the radio cage when Mixed Martial Arts continues on Ohio's Best Rock, QFM 96. Time to enter the radio cage. It's Mixed Martial Arts on QFM 96.
Mixed Martial Arts, it is the show fight fans turn to, and he has a new book. Let's get it on. We have got, and it's been too long, man. Legendary MMA official Big John McCarthy. Big John, what's up, man?
How you doing, man?
We're good, bro. Tell us about the book, man.
You know what? It's doing well. It's gotten really good reviews, and I'm happy people are liking it, so that makes me feel good because I didn't waste my time.
Now, you had some help on this, didn't you?
I did. You know what? Loretta Hunt is the actual reason the book was written. She's the one that wanted to do it and in the end talked me into doing it, and she did a very good job of taking all of my wacky thoughts and trying to put them down on a piece of paper.
If you could, Big John, tell us a little bit about Loretta, because, I mean, some people that might be new to the game, all they know is what they read on Dana White's blogs, and that's not favorable, but, I mean, she is respected outside of that umbrella of Zuffa. Talk to us about Loretta.
Well, the one thing I'll tell you about Loretta is all the fighters and everybody that meets her and she interacts with, they all love her. And she is a good person. And, you know, Dana has his reasons for being mad, and that's fine, you know.
Right.
She's a reporter, and, you know, a lot of reporters out there are going to write things to try to make people happy, and she's going to try to write things that she thinks are important about the sport. And her first criteria is what's best for the fighters, and she wants what's best for the fighters. And so she wrote a piece that he didn't like, but, you know, that's just the way life is, and you got to do what you think is right. And she is a very good person who's got a big heart, who cares about the sport, and has been part of the sport for a long time.
How does that start, man? When you're writing a book and someone you have not a ghostwriter, but somebody kind of there by your side like that, are you just spouting out stuff and then they kind of chronologically put it together? I mean, how does that all go down?
Yeah, you know, it's basically that's the way it started is. You know, she would come over and she'd try to, you know, take a recorder either on the phone or, you know, in person and talk to me, ask me questions about certain things and talk to me about, you know, how things happen. And then she would go back and write it. And it's funny because it's kind of like that tell a friend thing. Sometimes, you know, I would think that I said it the way I meant it. And then she would write it out and it would be like, that's not what I meant. And I would go back and change it.
Gotcha.
And it was a process that I had to learn. There were times, I said, that's it, I'm done, I'm tired of this. And she would always talk me down from being pissed off and get it going again.
Right on.
Now, John, the sport has grown so much over the years here. We've seen guys like yourself and Herb Dean and Dan Mergliotta. You know, you guys have become just as popular as the fighters themselves. So did you ever think you'd see the day when the sport and yourself would see so much success and popularity?
No, I'm being honest. The sport, I always believed in the sport, and I always believed that the people would love it. And, you know, if you look at where it's at now, especially with the deal the UFC just signed with Fox, that's bigger than anything I ever thought. As far as them liking, some of the referees and stuff, I never thought, people would look at the referees as being anything, and that's not why I do it. That's not why Herb does it. It's not why Dan does it. We do the sport because we love the sport, and we love what takes place as far as what the fighters do, and let's be honest, and I think Herb would tell you the same thing. We're good friends. He's too old to fight. I'm too old to fight. It's our way of still competing in a way. We don't compete against each other. We're friends. I will help Herb in any way that he needs it, or Dan, and Dan would do the same for either one of us. We're always there to try to help each other. Our competition is trying to do the perfect fight. there are times when you're going to have that perfect fight, and it's kind of like a game of golf. You know, you're going to have holes where you play things just the way you're supposed to, and there's times when, you know what, you really hit a shot, and you learn, okay, how did I hit a that's just part of it.
Right. Hey, now what are you going to hear, or what are we going to read in this book as far as the beginning days, the opening days? Is it going to be from your life as a cop? Does it go back that far as an L.A. cop and then UFC 1? Could you kind of tell us the beginnings there, what we're going to see in the book?
The book really starts off basically as, you know, my life growing up and who I grew up with. It was, you know, my dad being the guy that was the biggest influence on me, and his outlook on life and the way that he looked at things. You know, my dad was basically of the opinion that fighting solved everything. And so it was, you know, if someone did something, then you need to take care of business and do things. And I grew up in a system and background that was, you know, hey, fighting is not a bad thing. It's a good thing at times. It's not something that you start, but if you someone puts you in that position, do something about it. And I learned a lot from, you know, the way he raised me, and then I ended up going into law enforcement, and I talk about that, and then I talk about how I became involved with the Gracie family and how that led to this show that they were going to put on called War of the Worlds, the change to the UFC, and how that happened and how every event things changed and why they changed.
And we're talking to legendary MMA official Big John McCarthy. He's got a new book out. It's called Let's Get It On. Can we just throw some... We've been wanting to get you on, Big John, and can we just throw some random stuff at you?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
You know what? Let's start off with an officiating question. And we get this a lot when we're out and about and we're watching pay-per-views or whatever we're watching with people. Standing guys up if it's going nowhere. Your take on that? I know there's some guys in the booth who aren't for it and they bitch about it when it happens, but then sometimes the fans are booing in the crowd because they want to see some action. What's your take on standing guys up if the action gets a little stale?
Well, the whole thing is this. The referee is there to make sure that there is a fair fight and that the rules of the fight are being followed and the safety of the fighters is not in jeopardy. The biggest problem that you're seeing in MMA now is there is a difference in different referees and why they stand fights up. And anytime you're standing a fight up because there's not enough action for you as the fight just went from the standing position down to the ground and it's been there for 15 seconds and now you're saying something like improve your position to a fighter, you're someone that has no clue of what they're looking at in the sport and you're trying to change the sport and you're a problem.
Right.
Stand-ups are done for, you know, reasons that become stalemates. And there are positions within MMA, when you look at, you know, the standing fight compared to the ground fight, you get into positions in MMA, you get into a guard position, that's a pretty even position. If I have you in my guard on the ground, you're on top of me, you have advantages over me. You can hit me with more power, you can elbow me, but you don't have anything for submissions unless you decide to go back for a leg. And most guys aren't going to do that because they don't want to lose their position. If I'm on my back, I can't hit you as hard. I can hit you, but I can't hit you with as much power. But I do have a lot of submissions that are available to me. But I have to open up my guard to do those things. And these are the things that, you know, a referee should be noticing. The big thing is a referee should not be making a fighter fight a fight that he is not prepared to fight. And I know that kind of says
that makes total sense, man.
But for me to have someone that has been working to get this fight to the ground and finally gets the fight to the ground after taking a lot of abuse in the stand-up, and now he gets it down the ground, and for me to expect them to start just moving into positions and just jumping around and doing things,
right,
that's unrealistic. I've got to give that person time. If I give that person a sufficient amount of time and then tell them, hey, look, you need to do something, get busy, improve your position after a certain amount of time, and then they still don't do that at that point, then they're stalling the fight, and they're stalling it because they're being beat in that stand-up. And so the reason that they're on the ground is not to try to end the fight, it's to try to let the time go so they can survive the fight. Well, then it's time to, okay, we'll get you back up because you're trying to slow this fight down. But if the person is working for a submission or working, I'm not there to tell them you need to strike or you need to work for a submission. They should be able to fight the way they want or the way they train for, and I shouldn't be affecting that for the most part of the fight.
That's awesome, man. I just, you know, and it's... You try to get into the minds of the two guys fighting and the official and everybody. It's good to hear that, man, because I've never really heard that clearly stated like that, for sure.
Thank you.
Now, John, obviously you've played a huge role over the years in kind of forming some of the rules and regulations of the sport. Are you happy now with the current setup, or are there still some changes that you would like to see?
Everybody within the sport, you know, my whole thing that I try to tell everybody is we all need to continue to evolve. We all need to learn. We all need to become, you know, better at what we do. It's, you know, if you make a mistake, learn from the mistake. You know, be honest about it. Don't sit there and try to hide anything. Don't sit there and say, say, you know what, I screwed up. You know, be a man, stand up, and say, I made a mistake. We are all human, and the sport of MMA goes so fast that there is a possibility for you to make a mistake at times and to see something in a way because of where you're at that, you know, you don't get all the camera angles that other people are seeing. You've got to create your own angle when you're in there, and you're trying to do it with the safety of the fighter being the one thing that is at the top of your list. So there is always the possibility you can make a mistake. So if you do, then learn from it and learn how it happened, how to keep it from happening again, and then move on. We all need to continue to evolve because the fights are evolving. The fighters are evolving in what they're doing, and we need to evolve right with them or else we're going to get left behind. So, you know, the one thing I don't want to see is we have people that are becoming, they're coming into the sport, they're trying to become involved with it because now it's the hot thing and they want to be somebody.
Right.
This is not about, you know, I'm telling you right now, and anyone that would listen to me, you know, I tell them the same thing. No one freaking pays to see a referee or a judge.
Right.
They pay to see fighters. And if you're the one that's getting yourself in there because you want to be seen and you're an idiot, go away. That's not what it's about. It's about the fighters. It's about you making sure that the fighters are safe. If that is what, you know, your criteria is as far as my number one thing is the safety of the fighters. If someone doesn't like something I did because it was, in their opinion, I stopped it too early or anything like that, I don't care. You don't matter to me. You know what? The safety of the fighter does, because the whole thing is if I end up listening to the fan and letting something go to a point where someone gets injured to a point where they cannot come back again, or they end up having their life altered completely or even losing their life, there's one person that lives with it. I do.
Right.
Nobody else does.
That's
for everyone.
That sums it up, man, for sure. And let's get it on. It's out there now. Big John McCarthy, it's his new book. Big John, we are so excited to finally get this interview with you. And you're one of the great ones, man. We do appreciate it. We got so many fans and so many fighters in Columbus. It's such a hub here in Columbus, Ohio. That are you coming to the Arnold again this year, man?
Yeah, I think I'll be at the Arnold again. They do a great job there, and Ohio is fantastic. And they put on some great fights in Ohio. There's some tough there.
I know, man, and it's like it really is with some of the stuff like Dragell and Franklin have down in Cincinnati. There's NAAFS up in Cleveland and Columbus with a lot of the fighters coming out of Columbus. It's just it's cool, man, and that Arnold has kind of turned into like a nice little MMA festival for us.
Yeah, it really has. It's gone from the whole bodybuilding thing. The whole thing is phenomenal as far as when you go to it. How many different types of activities there, but MMA has become a huge part of that. And it was, you know, when the UFC was brought there and did a great show with Randy Couture against Tim Sylvia, that was great.
The shot heard around the world, man. I still remember that punch to start that off. It was just like, uh-oh. Never saw that coming, man. That was such a great night for fighting and for Columbus sports, for sure.
It was. Yeah, and, you know, a lot of credit needs to go out to the Ohio State Athletic Commission, Bernie Profato.
Bernie,
he's done,
man,
a really good job.
He sure does.
With the fight there. So.
Big John, congrats on the book. Good luck with the book. And we'll be watching for you, man.
Hey, Mike and Archie, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
More rage in the radio cage when Mixed Martial Arts continues on Ohio's Best Rock, QFM 96. It's the show Columbus fight fans turn to. It's Mixed Martial Arts on QFM 96.
Mixed Martial Arts, it is the show fight fans turn to, and it's time for Local Love, brought to you by GatewayMMA.com. UVC 18 Bad Blood, October 1st at the Aladdin Shrine Temple. And from the UVC, we've got Rick Piles, co-owner. What's up there, my man?
How you doing, guys?
We're hanging in there. Just looking at the top of this card, looking pretty good. You'll have to fill us in other ways. But Chris Larkin's on the card. Mark Kofor, one of the nice guys.
Absolutely.
In the sport. We've had him on the Wags and Elliott show. Just super cool guy. I see those two names on the card, and I'm like, it's pretty good here, Mr. Piles. I like it. Talk to us.
I am very excited about this show. And first off, I want to thank you guys for your continued support. People that when I go to the shows, they say, hey, I heard you on the radio.
Cool.
So I really, really do appreciate the support. But I'm in a position on this fight where I am tickled to death. Chris Larkin owns Ohio Fighting Challenge and is a fighter, but he put his career kind of on the back burner to get his promotion up. Mark Kofer has been the main matchmaker for Troy Speakman at the Arnold Festival. Mark has been a good friend of mine. He's fought for me. He put his career on the back burner. Both want to fight, and I'm fortunate that both want to fight for me. So I'm excited.
This is kind of cool. This would be like if it's, let's say you're Scott Coker and you've got Dana White and Joe Silva fighting on your card.
that's kind of the way I look at it. I mean, because I'm friends with all of them. I, like we were saying off the air, I'm just such a MMA fan. It's not even funny. So, and I think the world of both these guys, and I'm excited to have them on.
Right on. Now, the Aladdin Shrine Temple, you guys have done this before.
We have never been here.
You have never been there before. Talk to us about how that all came about.
We have made the Ohio Expo Center our home ground for UVC. We've done two shows during the state fair. I found out by mistake that you don't call it the state fairgrounds outside of the 2 weeks in August. It's called the Ohio Expo Center.
There you go.
We rent buildings from the Ohio Expo Center for the last 2 years, and that's been the home base. During the month of October, they house the largest horse show in the world. The Quarter Horse Congress last year passed, and I'm not into horses, but it became the largest horse show, passing one in England. They rent every building out for the entire month of October. We already had October as a date that we wanted to have our next show. So now I'm trying to scramble and find a venue. You would think in Columbus there was be a lot of venues, but it wasn't a lot open. I attended an NAAFS show at the Shrine a couple years ago. Very nice building. And so I contacted them. They had the date open, and here we go.
And then there we are. So it's UVC 18 Bad Blood. Where's the bad blood? Where's the bad blood at? And let me just say this. Mike and I are a little nervous asking someone that anymore. We've been kind of snake bitten with asking what's the bad blood about, but talk to us.
What you're snake bitten on, that's some of it. The bad blood was actually one of those fights was going to take place at this show. And so we already had the show named.
Gotcha.
So I figured anytime any guys get in there, two competitors, even though for the average person that is not really familiar with MMA, and you guys can attest to this, you see these guys immediately get out of the cage, patting each other on the back, going out for a drink or whatever. It's not a kill each other. But during those 9 minutes or 15 minutes, if it's a pro fight, there's bad blood. And so I thought, why not just hang with the title?
Iron Mike, UVC, one of your favorite local shows. Tell the fans. I mean, this is a good time, isn't it, man?
Yeah, it's definitely a great time. You know, every single fight, I have to say, from my experience going to these shows, I mean, I'm never bored. Like, every single fight from the bottom of the card
likes to
the
hear that.
Well, I mean, seriously, sometimes you go to fights, and we can all say this. You even see this in the UFC and Strikeforce. Sometimes the fights you get, you know, you're like, wow, maybe that wasn't as great a matchup as they thought it was going to be.
Right.
But I've been very impressed by the matchups and the matchmaking that you guys have had every single fight. I mean, I went with my wife, you know, and she, you know, she likes to watch fights. She doesn't really get into it too much, but she can call out when it seems like somebody's a little better than somebody else. But she was very happy the last one we went to at the fairground. She's like, man, you know, it's like I was excited every single matchup.
I sure appreciate that. One of the things that we are doing, this is our 18th show in right at 3 years, and we are striving to get more experienced amateur guys. I think that leads to better fights.
Better, right on.
And
makes
I'm not
sense.
Saying that we won't take debut guys. I would never say that because everybody needs their start and we have debut guys. On this card, as it sets right now, I don't have a debut fighter on here.
Awesome.
So we have some very experienced guys on paper. And I realize we don't fight on paper, but on paper, these matchups are about as dead even as you can get.
So this is a pro-am, obviously with Larkin and Kofer and those guys, you've got your pros. Now, as far as on the amateur portion of the card, what names are ringing out somebody that we should keep an eye out for? Is there?
Well, we have two title fights on here, and then I'll get to one name that I really want you to keep an eye on. Our current 145-pound champ is Justin Allball from Buckeye MMA. Justin is undefeated, 4-0, tremendous wrestler. He's fighting Jeff Forsythe, who Jeff's last two fights have lasted a combined 68 seconds. I mean, he's a very talented fighter.
Those are like DSP numbers.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Miss you, Doug. Yeah. But anyway, so Jeff would like to probably keep the fight standing. I mean, he says in our press conference, he'll wherever it goes, he feels comfortable. But I've watched Jeff fight. He's very good. Justin makes no bones about it. He's a ground guy. He's right. A wrestler, and that's where he wants to go. And in our 135, our title is vacant, and Aaron Hughes has been our number one contender for about 6 months, and we've had him a couple fights, and due to injuries, they've always fallen off. So Aaron is excited. Aaron is 7-4, once again from Buckeye. He's fighting, and I'm going to probably mispronounce his name, Joe Shablewski.
That's pretty good. That's
but,
pretty good.
Joe is 5-0 from up in the Findlay area, Demolition. Joe has fought for us, and he is a fireplug. And to me, you know, a lot of people like to see the big guys, and we'll talk about the big guys in a minute. You get those 135-pound guys going at it, they are so quick, it's unbelievable. So we have a 7-4 number one ranked against a 5-0 guy. That there's going to be fireworks in that fight.
And I see it right now. You brought it up, and it's one of my favorites. I always look up and down everybody's card to make sure that there is a super heavyweight, and I see one, bro.
The super heavyweight, David Morgan, and that's a typo. He's actually 3-1. He started off with a loss and has won his last three fights.
All right.
This is a guy that is 6'5", 388 pounds.
Okay.
And he's athletic.
Isn't that something?
I'm scared to death to shake his hand. And he's fighting Jason Vernon, and Jason Vernon is a big guy in his own nature, but David just towers over him. But there are going to be fireworks. Jason Vernon was at our press conference we held this past week, and he said, I came to fight. I came to win. So there's going to be fireworks in this one.
UVC 18, Bad Blood. It's October 1st at the Aladdin Shrine Temple. Folks want tickets. What do they need to do, Mr. Pops?
They can go online to www.ultimatevictory.org. Or they can contact any of the local fighters that are fighting. They all have tickets. One thing we do need to announce, this show is going to start at 6:30.
Okay.
We are moving the start time up. The doors will open at 5:30. This will start at 6:30. If people in the audience remember our last show during the state fair, we had 18 fights. We didn't get out till midnight. I know it's a long night.
Right on.
So this time we have scaled the card down. We are looking at 13 or 14 solid fights. Trying to start it at 6:30.
Start it earlier.
That way people can get out. They can go enjoy the rest of the evening or whatever. And I think it's going to be a good time.
Can you get that memo out to Bud Selig? I mean, that just sounds. I wish baseball would take a little hand there from the UVC on how to maybe, you know what? You see what you've got. Maybe you start a little earlier.
Absolutely.
Hey, and Rick Piles, I know you got connections. Can you please tell Sean Salmon to come on our show, please? We really want to get him on.
I was just talking to him an hour ago.
All right. Tell him. Arch Madness.
Matter of fact,
we got to get him on Mixed Martial
Arts. I don't
know
if I'm allowed to say this or not, but I think he is getting ready to fly out to the Middle East this week.
Okay.
He just got a phone call. Someone dropped out.
Would that be Abu Dhabi type Middle East? Or where would that be?
I didn't even have time to talk to
him.
I actually was dropping my my granddaughter off, and he just said, hey, I just got this phone call. I'm in shape, and a guy got hurt, and they asked me if I'd willing to step in. I don't know anything about it, but I'm saying, the Middle East, are you sure you want to go there?
Well, as many times as we've had you on, I would love to get him on. I know you have connections there.
I do have connections.
So if you could hook us up, man, and get Mr. Salmon on the show, we would appreciate it.
Okay, we can make that happen, guys.
There you go. Rick Piles, once again, UVC 18, Bad Blood, October 1st at the Aladdin Shrine Temple. It's Mixed Martial Arch, and this has been Local Love, QFM 96. Well, there you go, guys. Another episode of Mixed Martial Arch. Can't wait for UFC 135 tonight. Yes, Iron Mike.
And don't forget, guys, Monday morning, Archie's going to have those tickets to UVC.
Yes,
to give
that
away
is correct.
Mixed Martial Arch.
And always, and thanks to Rick Piles. Thanks to Big John McCarthy. I can't believe 30 shows almost. And I mean, one of the most high profile guys. So cool to get him on. I'm glad he wrote the book.
I can't wait to actually crack it open.
I started it, and it's really, really cool. Do you know?
To be honest, that book is big.
And this kind of upset me because I didn't get a chance to really ask him this. It's big. It's a big book. His dad actually started, and we didn't really get to go into this. His dad actually formed the SWAT, the SWAT. You know what it stands for. I can't think of what it stands for off the top of my head. His dad was the one that actually started that with the LA Police Department and stuff like that. Yeah, it's just that you learn. So, guy's had a very interesting life, and as you can hear, he is,
He's very astute, man. He's been there since the beginning, and he knows
the rules.
He's
a pioneer of the MMA, man.
He sure is, man.
He's been there since the beginning. So.
He sure is. So we're excited for the fight tonight. We're going to go to Red Rock, right on?
If you want to come out and join us, we'll be
there. Nothing official. We're just going to go, and we're going to watch the fights there, just like we like to watch the fights.
You know, and hopefully get through enough natty that they'll bring out the old style.
How sad is that? We go through, we drink all their natties, our table. And then it always is the switch over to old style with our table.
The last time though, they even went through the old style and brought out the PBR.
Oh yeah, I had to step away. I had to step away after that.
We're getting buckets of PBR. So.
And McKinney, he doesn't even blink, man. McKinney's like,
take
right,
whatever.
You have it here. And the rest, we're like, what? No more natties. No more old style. But no, McKinney doesn't even blink. So we got to check with David. We got to get David on the show here pretty soon.
I'm pretty sure he started over at
Yeah, we
got to
get B-Raj, too, after his win.
Yeah, man. B-Raj cool with the win. He advances in the tournament. So, no, man, good stuff. Great show today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And, man, oh, man, John Jones and Rampage tonight.
Yeah. We got to see if we can get McKinney in a fight now.
Oh,
he's over there training a buck
right
now. So.
Did you see his shiner?
Yeah.
He's got that shiner.
It's funny. That's the same thing happened to me my first time over there. I think that's a rite of passage over there.
I loved his Facebook posting the other day. All right, it's time to go get choked.
All right, and one more plug. You know,
right
we got
on,
one
bro.
More thing we got to plug. Don't forget also tonight, maybe you can check it out before the UFC fights, but it's Bellator. Right, from Canton.
Oh, that's right.
And on spike.com is where they're showing all the prelims, and I think that's where Dan Spawn's going to be on.
So
I want to check out his fight.
Dragon,
spike.com.
Best of luck, brother. You know we're pulling for you, man.
Yeah, big time, man.
I'm telling you, I personally, he just seems to have the it factor, and with a win tonight, and I think all MMA fans across the country are going to know who this cat is eventually, for sure.
I wish him the best. He helped me out a ton, and we had him in, was it last week?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we're definitely pulling for him. Check it out, the Bellator fights. What the time does that start?
I have no idea.
The fights actually probably start at 9, so they probably start about 8.
But you want to hop on Spike.com. They're putting all the prelims on Spike.com.
Okay,
so
I'd get on there by 7 if that's your plan, wouldn't you say? Pretty much so.
So they're doing like the Facebook thing, showing the prelims on the...
On Spike, though. Yeah, and Spike and Bellator now are kind of joining forces, so we're going to start seeing that morph into...
I can't wait. I just can't wait for Bellator
in
HD.
In high def. All right. Yeah. Hey, good luck, Dragon Man. We're pulling for you. Mixed Martial Arts. It's the show fight fans turn to. QFM 96.
You've been listening to Mixed Martial Arts, sponsored by Bud Light. Here we go with your host, Arch Madness, co-host and producer, Doug St. Pierre, executive producer, Iron Mike Dorsey, production assistant, Ty, the Canal Zombie Stevens. This has been a Wilkes Broadcasting production.
Oh!